men from the lands, from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south. And what happens in this psalm is that there is, after this, four groups of people described. And each group of people finds themselves in some sort of crisis. And in each case, they call to the Lord, and the Lord delivers them from that specific crisis. And so we're going to have four readings from Psalm 107 that talks about the crisis that God delivers his people from. And with each of those readings that Justin will do for us, there will also be a reading from the Gospels in which we see Jesus himself offering the same sort of deliverance or promising the same sort of deliverance to someone during his ministry. And like I said, about halfway through, Harrison will lead us in prayer for those that are going through crises of their own at this time. And then toward the end, Brian will give a talk as an invitation before we have one final song. So join with us in song and in thanksgiving for the amazing things that God has done for us. And let's begin by opening with a word of prayer. O Lord our God, we give thanks to you. You are great and you are powerful and you are awesome and almighty, infinite in wisdom and in might. But yet, Father, in your greatness, you have looked down upon us with mercy and with compassion. You have blessed us so richly, and you have taken pity on us in our weakness, in our sin, in our frailty, in our corruption, and you have redeemed us. You have saved us from ourselves, saved us from sin, from death, and from the sorrows of this world. And so tonight, Father, we lift our voices together as you're redeemed to give thanks to you for your steadfast love that endures forever. Bless us, Father, as we read your word, as we sing to you, and as we pray to you tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be reading from two passages. I'll be picking up where Daniel left off in the 107th Psalm, and then I will jump over to John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. So to start, I'll be reading from Psalm 107, verses 4 through 9. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way, till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. In John chapter 6, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst."
First song we'll sing, "Living Water, Bread of Life." I think it's only going to be on the screen.
God sent springs into the valleys, flowing softly through the hills. God sent streams down from the mountains, weeping over rocks and rills.
it's 129. In blue, praise the Lord, it's 22. All the way, my Savior leads me.
All the way, my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus through it all.
Continuing in Psalm 107, and following that, I will read from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. Psalm 107, verse 10. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as was His custom, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon Him. And He began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
We'll sing "Shine, Jesus, Shine," verse 968 in the blue book.
Lord, the light of Your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth You now bring us. Shine on me.
Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word, for your creation, for your Son, and for all the blessings that you have blessed us with. We ask for your healing on those that are suffering, that are not with us, that need your special care. We ask that you continue to heal Mark Mann after his stroke and take care of his family. Dear Heavenly Father, please heal Mike Ferris. Heal his knee so that he can walk and return again to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you heal Janice Kimbrough and help her regain her strength and healing, and help Dan to take care of her and Sister Glenda Toll. Dear Heavenly Father, look after Mike Flynn, who was released from the hospital and is feeling better. Help him to continue to regain his strength and grow stronger. We ask your care to help Pat Butler recuperate from her fall and the recent therapy that she's had at her home. And we have several traveling throughout the United States, the Moons, the Martins, and many, many others. Please put your hand on them and keep them safe. We pray for Beverly Berthold, Muffy's mother. Please strengthen her and please heal her. We pray for those with the chronic health concerns, Laura Claiborne, Jan and Richard Cooper, Deb Haley, Johnny Martinez, Anna Michael, and Bob Stark. We give you thanks for the new job that you've allowed Lee Williams to find. I give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for helping my friend Al Johnson heal from his cancer. We give you thanks for this church, Heavenly Father, that meets here. And we ask that you help us to continually grow and teach your truth. We give you thanks for our evangelists, Daniel and Steve, and for our elders. Dear Heavenly Father, we see your hand in all this world. We give you thanks for the blessings that you have granted to each and every one of us. For it is in your Son's most holy name we pray. Amen.
Continuing in Psalm 107, in verse 17. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in the songs of joy. In Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it to the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled.
Sing number 61 out of the hymns for worship. Number 61, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind."
Do me, so me.
Continuing in Psalm 107, verse 23. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and were at their wit's end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. When they were glad that the waters were quiet, then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
Master, the tempest is raging.
Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high, the sky is so shadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Perish the mind that we perish, how is the light of sweet? Which moment so madly is threatening, are breaking the angry deep? The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Be still. Where did the wrath
Tonight, I would like to present this Wednesday evening invitation in the context of milestones. Oops, I need to get this out. The origin of the word milestone is derived from a long time ago. And back in the ancient Roman days, around the 3rd century BC, about 2,300 years ago, the Romans had built a complex network of over 53,000 miles of road. And every 1,000 paces, or 4,800 feet, they placed a stone marker, a marker that we call a milestone now. And the purpose of that marker was to give the travelers on that road a sense of where they were on their journey. And secondly, it provided a form of direction and information about their trip. And about 95 of these stones still exist, of which one I show you here. We have continued the practice of milestones today, but we don't use the term milestone, we use the term mile marker. So as you're traveling along the interstate highways, if you look on the right side of the road, you will see every mile a little sign about that big with a number on it, and that number represents the number of miles distant from the origin of that particular road. And in addition, if you will notice, all of the exits are coordinated in their numbering with the nearest mile marker. So, for example, I-45 is 285 miles long, and therefore there's 285 mile markers. And you can't see it up there, but I can see quite well here. The zero mile marker is on Galveston Island at the 61st Street intersection. The last I-45 mile marker is located in Dallas between exits 284A and 284B. So as you're going north, when you come to 284A, it will denote the end of I-45 and the beginning of 75. And as you're going south, when you come to 284A, it'll denote the end of I-75 and the beginning of I-45. And in between each marker, will also tell you about where you're at. For example, mile marker 263 brings you to Walnut Springs, Texas. And of course, this sermonette, if you will, is not about ancient Rome and I-45. But related to that, the word milestone is more commonly used as reference points in our lives. Using the old analogy and metaphor, each person's life is like a journey along a road, or more appropriately, a path that we walk that brings us from the date of our birth to the time of our death. And like the Roman milestones, various events that take place in our lives serve as milestones which let us know where we are at on this journey towards the end of our life. And these milestones carry with them the characteristic of being permanent and life-changing. So, for example, a birthday is what we might call a type of milestone that not only tells us where we are on life's journey, but informs us generally what to expect when we reach a certain age, and more particularly when we enter into a certain decade. Each passing decade, we find that our lives are changed forever, changed permanently. There is no going back from age 70 to age 17. There's no reliving life to undo the mistakes we made in the past. And of course, milestones are far more than simply aging and birthdays. As we travel through life, we also encounter various life-changing events that we also call milestones. Many are joyous. Birth of a child, the marriage to our childhood sweetheart, the strength and beauty of youthful maturity, perhaps our first job. And other times, these milestone events are extraordinarily sorrowful and bring much grief. The death of a spouse, the death of a child, disabling illnesses, loss of employment, And again, each time these milestone events are permanent and they're life-changing. Milestones are also, in a sense, a rite of passage. That means all must experience these things. The Ecclesiastes writer, King Solomon, wrote that that which has been is that which will be. And that which has been done is that which will be done, so there is nothing new under the sun. So from this passage, we can be sure that the life-changing milestone events that are certain to occur in our life have been experienced by countless others and will be experienced by countless others to come. While not every life is identical, taken as a whole, we simply go through that which others have gone through. There's not a single thing that we have experienced that there hasn't been somebody else who has gone through it themselves. There's not a single new sin on the face of this earth, and there's not a single new joy either. Perhaps the milestone events are the most difficult to contend with and endure are those that bring us into the fires of tribulations and adversity. There are the times that we suffer deep sorrows and griefs. We experience pain and agony. We witness the death of loved ones. We experience fears and terrors. And we enter into times when we suffer disability and loss of just about everything. In this regard, I have to tell you that I am simply overwhelmed by what the Manns and the Kimbrows are having to go through tonight. I know what sorrows and hardships Deb and I have endured over our lifetime. I know what we have to endure now. And I have a sense of what, Dan, what you're going through when Deb almost died in 2005. And it's terrifying. It's the worst experience I ever had in my life. But I don't know what the Manns are going through. I have not experienced their challenges right now. But I can tell you this, it's extraordinarily difficult, it's extraordinarily hard, and extraordinarily frightening. It overwhelms me. What they're going through is absolutely life-changing, and I'm afraid for them. This I also know, all of God's children must enter into tribulations in this life. Here's just a few verses from God's word. Matthew 6:34, Jesus speaking, each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus speaking again at John 16:33, in the world you have tribulations. Luke writing the Apostle Paul's words of Acts 14:22, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And then there's the Apostle Peter writing at 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. What's Peter telling us? Life is filled pervasively with very hard difficulties, with many sorrows, many pains, many agonies. Do not be surprised when they come upon you, because they will. So here's the questions for tonight. When we enter into the joyous events of this physical existence, will we abandon God to enjoy the good things that this world has to offer? Will we forget God? Conversely, the question is, when we enter into sufferings in this present life, will we remain faithful? Will we reject God? And I assure you, many leave God in both instances. So as we ponder these questions, I give you some guidance, particularly for the younger ones. This life does not stand still. This life is constant change. Nothing stays the same. The good things of this physical life are temporary and passing. All that we obtain, we will lose, certainly when we die, but very often before we die, certainly as it pertains to our youth, our strength, and our beauty. And third, this life is filled with pressing difficulties, sorrows, and pain, but they too are passing. But in that context, we have to understand the nature of God, that He is the one constant and unchanging presence in our lives. He will do more than just simply restore all that we lose in this present life. He grants to us eternal life as a promise, as a vow, as a gift, and as a right by inheritance. He gives us His kingdom as a right, as an inheritance. He glorifies us and gives us authority to reign with Christ forever and ever, and He makes everything new. My next milestones. In many respects, all of your approaching milestones are now my memories. My life has been mostly lived, but three milestones remain for me, and they remain for you also. Number one, serve God. 1 Corinthians 15:58, beloved, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. No matter what successes we enjoy in this life, no matter what sorrows and sufferings we are burdened by, we must faithfully endure to serve our Lord through the practice of love. Is this not the whole duty of man? Ecclesiastes 12:13. The second milestone that awaits me and awaits you, a little closer for me than for most of you, is death. Hebrews 9:27, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes the judgment. All of our life's milestones all point to and prepare us for this final moment. And while most men dread and fear this moment, I'm here to tell you that for the Christian, for the child of God, this will be your finest and best and most wonderful moment in this physical existence. And after that, it will only get better. Which brings me to the third milestone. I'll speak the words the Apostle Paul wrote at 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who loved his appearing. Ultimately, the crowning milestone event in our life is when we enter into baptism and enter into Christ, become a child of God, and to become an heir of eternal life. That makes all of this worthwhile. That fulfills God's purpose in us to become His sons. If there's anyone here who is not a child of God, who wants to enter into baptism, to enter into Christ, become a child of God, the water is ready. If you have sinned and have fallen away and need to be restored, now is that opportunity. You don't have to come forward just to confess to Christ and to God your sins. And you will be forgiven. Your sins are blotted out. I'll conclude with this thought. Never leave a worship service wondering whether you've been saved. Will you come while we stand and sing?
Five verses of Abide With Me. Notice particularly the second verse. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay, and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Sing the song, and Dalton will lead us in a closing prayer. And me.
God, our Father, we are so grateful for this day that you have given us. And as we continue to give thanks for all the many blessings, we are continually so thankful for the grace and mercy that you have shown upon us. We're so grateful for the word that you have given us and how we can sing praises unto you and to read your word and to pray to you. We are so grateful for so many things. We continually pray that you would be with those traveling. That you would keep them safe. We continually pray that you'd be with us and keep us safe in all our endeavors. We pray that you would let us be together at the next point in time, and it's all through your Son's name we pray. Amen.